You and I made tons of choices today, just today. Think about all the decisions you had to make today. A lot. I mean, I'm pretty sure you did not count them, but you know, the moment you got up, this, you're making choices, you're making decisions. Because that's who we are as humans. We make choices. So you go to a restaurant to eat. Then you look at a menu from which you had to choose what food to eat. You know, we are creatures that are always making choices. At the store, you had to make decisions. When you drive on the road, you had to make decisions. You know, you go, some of you go to different store because that's the store you choose to go and shop from for your clothing or for food. You might go to Aldi in Jersey. We don't have an Aldi here. You might go to a Stop and Shop or ShopRite. You know, so everybody's like, and nobody tells you, don't go to that one. You make the decision to go in there because that's your choice. You know, no one is going to take those choices, that choice away from you. We, as humans, make decisions. In fact, it's one of the things that makes us humans, the ability to choose. You see, we were created as human beings with the ability to make decisions, make choices. This is the way God intended it. And one of the reasons I want to talk to us this morning about this topic is because there are Christians out there that will say that there's no free will, that you don't have a choice. You know, I was listening 2 weeks ago to a debate based on this topic. The topic was the sovereignty of God versus human free will. And people say, and mind you, these guys are smarter. They're smarter than me. But, you know, I was just like, I don't see it. When you go through scripture, you realize, like, how can you, they think it's either or. It's either the sovereignty of God or human free will. The sovereignty of God, they interpret it like this. Sovereignty, when you look up even at Webster, sovereignty means supreme, somebody who is above and beyond us. The sovereignty of God also means that God do whatever he wants. God is not accountable to anyone. You know, he's king, he's a supreme. And that's being sovereign. I mean, now, the Bible teaches that God is sovereign. But the Bible also teaches that you and I have free will, that we can choose. So these two scholars that we're debating, one will say, yes, we have the ability to choose. The other guy said, no, if God is sovereign, then you don't have free will. And if you do have free will, then God is not completely sovereign. And then I will come in the middle and say, it's both. God is still sovereign, and you and I have free will. I mean, look at yourself today. I mean, how is it you can tell me, or some Christians out there will tell you don't have free will when you're choosing every... Does God tell you today what clothes to wear? You made those choices, didn't you? You know, God doesn't tell you where to shop. You don't go, let me go fasting and prayer before I go to Stop and Shop because let me see if God wants me to buy chicken, a fry, or rotisserie chicken. You made those decisions yourselves. God doesn't tell you what to eat or not to eat, or, you know, Coke or Pepsi. God, which... You have the ability to choose. So these two men were debating that, the sovereignty of God. Like I said, sovereignty means supreme, ruler. He does whatever he wants, and that's true. And he's not accountable to no one. God is not accountable to you and I. But we are accountable to him. The Bible also teaches, like I said, that we were created with the ability to make decisions. And our choices are real because sometimes we make bad decisions and they have drastic, severe consequences. Like I said, some Christians, some of you might be familiar with this idea of the Calvinistic way. They think that it's either or. And when you look at the Bible, it's both. God is sovereign and we have free will. And I'm going to show you the exact text in the Bible where you see both. Display right there. When you study the scripture, you see that it's both. God is the supreme ruler, and you and I have the ability to choose. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Now, the Bible talks about God created humans in his likeness, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. From the beginning, you know, God gave humanity something that he did not give the animals and the plants. God being made in the image of God means that God put something in you that he did not put in anything else. In fact, when God created humans, the Bible says that the word changed. It says, and it was very good. And you look at the account when God made the animals and the plants, it says it was good. And God made the stars and it was good. When he made humans, it's the word changed. It says it was very good because humanity was the special creation of God. And he put something of his in us, his image. In other words, we can create, we can think logically, we can also, we are moral beings. We can choose. God made it like that for us to be able to do that. That's what it means to be humans. Made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Not my cat or my dog, but you and I. Humanity. God's special creation. You see, it's only humans who are image bearers. Because God made us into his likeness. Now, it's interesting. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, you see, as a creator, let me give you the analogy of this, the word sovereignty. A painter is sovereign over his painting. In order for you to paint something, you had to be away from that painting. In order for the computer, for somebody to make a computer, you cannot make a computer from within the computer. You had to be outside of the realm. So which makes you ruler over that which you create. That's the word sovereignty. God is the creator. He's way outside of our realm. He creates things. You know, so you see in Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. This is when he created mankind, male and female. He created them. He said, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. God is delegating here. This, the supreme being, the sovereign, now is giving sovereignty to mankind over everything else created. Do you see that? Because now mankind is going to be in charge of the rest of creation. They were sovereign. God shared his sovereignty in a sense like he delegated function for man. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue. Rule, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Mankind had power. God put him in charge of his creation. So if we were to use the word sovereignty, meaning that you're supreme ruler, who's going to be the supreme ruler of that creation there? God put him in charge, mankind. He says, have dominion. You're more important than that, and so you're going to be in charge of that. So the supreme put mankind in charge of his creation. See, humans are free to choose. You and I are created to make choices. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. You are free to eat of all the trees in the garden. Here's this idea of God gave him freedom to eat of all the trees in the garden, he said. You are free. The ESV said, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden. Some translation will say, you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden. Now, ask yourself this question. How many trees were in that garden? How many trees are there in Staten Island? I don't know that you and I can count them. And God would say, you are free to eat of all the trees in Staten Island. So you have free. I mean, now, picture this. There were a lot of trees in the garden. You see, that means God did not tell man, you see, maybe there's oranges over there, there's apples, pears. On Monday, you eat pears. You're free means that mankind will eat and partake of the tree whenever mankind or humans want it. They will eat of any tree anytime they want, because they have that freedom from God. You're free to eat of all the trees in the garden. So there it is. There's the freedom to choose. Adam didn't get up in the morning and say, well, you know, today is a special day. Let me pray to see which one of the trees the Lord wants me to eat. No, he already told you, you're free to eat of any tree you want. In the garden, he said. There was only one tree that he said not to eat of. Only one out of hundreds, perhaps. Only one tree. You are free to eat. This, you have freedom, Adam, to shop of all any stores you want. You are free to eat of any trees in the garden. You see, like I said, man didn't ask God, let me pray about which one you want me to eat of today. No, no. It's up to you. Whatever tree you want to eat today, whatever time you want to eat it, it's up to you, Adam, because you're free to eat of all the trees in the garden. You see, my friends, even though we have freedom to choose, we have to recognize our freedom is limited. God set up a limitation to mankind. You are free to eat of all the trees in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat. So that tree was off limit for mankind. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you may surely die. We're free to make decisions. We're free. But our freedom is limited. Just like God limited, he said, I mean, but again, it's only one tree that you will not eat. Out of hundreds of trees in the garden, only one God said, you may not eat. This one, for whatever reason, because God said it, it was off limits for mankind to eat. The only prohibition you see in the Bible right there, at the beginning, the Creator gave him lots of freedom, but he set up a boundary. He set up a limit. God gave him, you and I are created with the ability to choose, but our freedom has limitations. And I'm going to show you how that works even, you know, in our context today. Let's say somebody invites you to a house. You say, hey, make yourself at home. You are, open the refrigerator, eat whatever is in there, but do not touch my peanut, my strawberry jam. You're free to eat everything you find in the refrigerator, but leave that alone. You see, you have freedom, but there's a limitation because somebody said, do not touch the strawberry jam that that person has in there. And then later on, you say, okay, well, you're going to violate that command. You are free to make yourself at home. You know, take a shower, use the blankets, whatever you want, but do not eat my strawberry jam. You know, but you see, you have freedom to enjoy the house, but in order for you to enjoy that freedom, you had to also abide by that rule. You see, we are free to choose, but we have limitations to our freedom. When you go to the restaurant that I told you about, somebody hands you a menu by which you select certain food. That menu is limited, doesn't it? If you go to a Mexican restaurant, you say, but I want pizza. They don't sell that over there. You might get some burritos and tacos. You might have to go to a different, I mean, you know, every restaurant you go to, sometimes they might even run out of that which you want. I went to a barbecue place and they ran out of ribs. So I'm gonna throw a fit because, like, you know, again, our choices are limited. You know, the menu just tells you these are the items that you can choose from. You cannot just choose outside of, so there's boundaries to that menu. So our freedom, we're free to choose, but you choose within that context, within that sphere. We have the ability to choose, but we're free to make decisions, but there are boundaries that we cannot ignore if we want to truly enjoy that freedom. You're driving from one place to another. There's another example. You can take any road you want to take. But the road is marked with limitations. The road has lanes. You just don't say, well, you know what? I'm going to drive on the opposite side. I don't care. I mean, you're free to, I mean, and you enjoy the ride, but there's perimeters. There's boundaries by which you have to abide if you want to enjoy your freedom. We're free to choose, But our freedom has limitations. There are boundaries. And boundaries, my friends, they're good. They show you the lines of the limitations. God said, you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden, but the tree, and it was in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. All of the other ones you can eat, but this one is off limits. Because the day you eat, you will die. So eating of that tree will have severe consequences to our relationship. The only one. You know, sometimes that makes me wonder, why was Adam and Eve so close to the tree? If God already told you, it's almost like one of those police lines, like, off limits that you sign, like, don't enter. Why would you even near that? You see, no sport or game could be played without boundaries. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to even think about that. You can play football, basketball, or baseball without rules and boundaries. Because you hit the ball and say, I don't want to, this is first base, but I want to run this way. It doesn't work like that. There are boundaries for whatever reason. You know, in order for you to enjoy the game, you had to abide by the rules of the game, by the boundaries. Because you see, how many basketball players sometimes, they get in trouble, they get fined because you violated the boundaries of the game. So it got to, I mean, you can enjoy this game. It's beautiful. You enjoy playing it as long as you stay in the perimeters of the game. So you see, our freedom to play, our freedom to do certain things is limited. As a good citizen, there are laws that if you break them, you pay the consequences. In order for you to enjoy the freedom of a land, you have to abide by certain rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are good. And you see that right here when God said you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden, but the one of the knowledge of good and evil is off limits. Don't eat of that one. Like I said, you see that we... My friends, our choices are real. We make choices, but, you know, we have limitations to our choices. We're limited. We're limited human beings, creatures anyways. When we violate the perimeters of, you know, a game or whatever, even at work, I mean, you know, the boss would say, you're free to do what, I mean, you be creative, do whatever. There's also some limitations because if you violate certain things, the code, whatever job you have, you might get in trouble. You might get suspended. You might even get fired because, you know, you violated the perimeters. You violated the boundaries that they saw. There are boundaries in everywhere. Your property has boundaries. So people know, you know, boundaries everywhere, just like God set up boundaries for mankind. Humans are created with the ability to choose. This freedom will never, and that's one thing, one of the things God will never take away from you and I, the ability to choose. Today on Sunday school, we talked about some things that God cannot do. Because God cannot deny his own character. God cannot go against his nature. God cannot lie. We learned this morning. So God cannot take away the freedom that he already gave you. He cannot just say, well, you know, let me change your situation. Let me change who you are. God cannot take away the ability to choose. That's how he created us. What God expects is that we honor his choices, that we honor his decision, his command. Just like he told Adam, hey, you're free to eat of all that, but don't eat of this one. He expected mankind to honor his decision. When you look up Genesis chapter 3, you see the sad story of humanity. When mankind went against God's command, they went and ate of that tree that the Lord told them not to eat of. And from that moment on, the whole world of mankind began to fall apart. The whole world that mankind knew became cursed. When God said, you eat of that tree, eating of that tree will have severe consequences. And mankind suffered the consequences of their disobedience. You see, sin entered the world. Sin is missing the mark. Disobedience, rebellion against God. That's what the word sin is. How did mankind rebel against God? Well, they went against God's off-limit tree. They crossed God's boundaries when God told them not to. And, you know, when you violate a law, whatever decisions we make, that's how you and I realize how important our choices are and how valuable they are, because The decisions we make, they have consequences, good or bad. See, the world of mankind began to change. And it's interesting because that choice, when God said you will die, you see the relationship with God and mankind suffering. Remember, for the first time in history, they felt fear of God. Meanwhile, before that, they were hanging out with God. And God come, he said the Lord would come in the coolness of the day to hang out with mankind. And that day, after they ate of that tree, the Lord came and they tried to hide. And the Lord said, where are you? Not because God didn't know where they were at. It's like, what happened to our relationship? And I told you not to. Oh, and there he comes, the blaming game. You know, like, you know, nobody wants to take responsibility for the action. He goes to Adam. Adam, what is it that you've done? Adam said, well, what's the woman that you created here? Like, if you had not created that woman, we would have been cool. It's almost like now blaming God. He said, well, the woman gave me and I ate. Adam, would you still have the decision to say, no, I don't want to eat? And the woman said, well, the serpent deceived me. And it's almost like somebody said the serpent was looking around else. Let's see who I can blame. It's like, you know, everybody was like, well, he did it. It wasn't me. Like Adam blamed God. Well, it was the woman that you gave me. You know, it's like the Bible says it wasn't good for man to be alone. God made a suitable helper. It's almost like Adam is reasoning, if you had not created a woman, we would have been okay. And the woman said, well, the servant, yes, you all. But remember, go back to what God told you. The Creator told you and gave you the freedom to eat of all the trees, and you had to go to that particular one. And you should have listened to the Creator, not somebody else who came and suggested a different proposition to you. At that moment, you wait, you see, making decisions. God said not to do it, but this one says, if I eat of it, I'd be like God. Somebody's lying here. You see, it's the whole thing of the matrix. The blue pill or the red pill. You had to take either one. And the Indiana Jones movie, remember when he's trying to get the cup? The guy says, you must choose. You must choose wisely. You always make decisions. You gotta make a decision. And mankind made the decision, and it was to go against God. And then from that moment on, we have severe consequences. You know why we have Genesis chapter 3 all the way the Bible to Revelation 22? Because of that choice. Because mankind went against God, and now the whole Bible is all about God fixing the problem that we created. And yes, people might argue like, well, but that was Adam. Maybe if I'd be in that situation, I would have chosen differently. No, you would have not, because Adam is representing us, mankind. Paul says, because of one man's sin entered the world. And then sin passed through all men because we all sinners. By the way, you and I were born after Adam's sin, which means that we're post-fall. We're born into a fallen world. That means that we're going to get angry and we're going to be feeling the effect of the fall daily on our lives. What happened after that decision? The relationship between man and God suffered. The relationship between man and his fellow man got broken. The relationship between mankind and nature. What do you think we had to study and go to school now to learn things about nature? We knew all that before. Mankind was created to never die. Now we had to experience death, separation. That's also part of the consequence of that choice. Death entered into the world. But do you realize that God created humanity to live forever? But because of that, death now entered. And now we had to deal with hurricanes and natural disasters. That was not part of the creation. In fact, one of the things that God told Adam, you might have to work the land. And it will produce thorns and thistles. By the sweat of your brow, you might have to eat now. Meanwhile, remember, you're free to eat of all the trees of the garden, whenever you want. Now, you might have work. It's going to be painful. You might not want to get up in the morning to go to work, but that's how you might have to live. Until you return to dust, from the dust you were created, and to dust you will return. All because of the curse. All because of that decision that mankind made. That sounds like a lot of bad news. But it's interesting because in Genesis 3, God said, you know, mankind, made the choice to go against God, and God made the choice to fix that problem. God already knew what he needed to do. Choosing to go against God, God from the very beginning, chapter 3, he says how he was going to fix that. Interesting. We created the problem. God created the solution. Solution to do what? To bring us back to himself, to reconcile, to fix that same problem that we have in our society. You know, sometimes when people, even in our government, you hear about, oh, we want to pass this law, the guns, whatever. You know, it's not even a gun issue that we have in our society. Or abortion or things. You know what the issue is that we have in our society? It is a sin issue. It's a heart issue that we have. Because sin is in us. Sin, we continue to run away from God, separating, being rebellious to God. We don't want God to tell us what to do. Also, sin means that you declare your independence from God. You say, Lord, I want to do my own thing. And we become self-centered. And, you know, and we run away from God. Said, you know, my way is better. Sometimes we think that our ways are better. And God will let us go. But remember, those choices we're going to make, they will have severe consequences. The Lord already has given us a standard by which we are to operate. Our choices are real. They can affect us and even other people drastically. You see what happened in the garden. God made the choice to redeem you and I. Redeeming means to buy us back, to bring us back. When he made the promise to, after they all failed, and God said, a seed of the woman, he will crush the head of Satan. God already was predicting that somebody that was going to be born of a woman, and he will be the demise, he will be the end of Satan, and by which mankind will once again come back to God and enjoy the relationship that they once had in Genesis 1 and 2. How did God do that? He did it by sending Jesus to the world, that through Jesus, you and I might be right with God. You see, we created this problem. Mankind did. God already provided the solution by which that problem was going to be fixed. You know, you and I can try all that we want. We cannot fix it because sin is already in our DNA. How do I know that? Look at a baby. Do you have to teach the baby how to get angry and throw a fit? It comes in the package. You know, I always tell people, look at our society. We have to strive to be good. Being bad is easy. Being nasty to people, you know, like somebody cut me off on the road and you see the same nature just when I go. I mean, we all, like you, so, oh no, I don't. That doesn't happen to me. Yes, something else will get you there. That's like, and you realize, where is that coming from? By the way, that was not part of the package when God created us. It happened after the fall. When we, all those things, sin gets in us. The Bible calls that the flesh or the sinful nature that we have, that doesn't submit to God, doesn't want to. And God came to redeem us from sin, the penalty of sin and the influence of sin. He came to fix that sin problem we have. And the solution is still available today. But people want to refuse it. You see, God sent Jesus to die on our behalf, to buy us back. So that through his death, through his blood, we might be redeemed, sanctified, justified. The word justified means to be declared righteous with God. In other words, to be in the right relationship, in the right standing with God. God himself did that through Jesus. You see, he took the initiative to fix our problem. And he made that choice. God made the choice to fix the problem by providing the solution. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God made the choice to fix it. You and I had to make the choice to take it. You and I must choose Jesus. You know, God's not going to force himself on you like, I'm going to make you, because that's one another thing that he cannot do. Otherwise, he will be violating his own character. God made you with the ability to choose, and he's waiting you to choose Jesus. Whoever believes in him will not perish. He says, if you believe in the Son, you have life. If you do not believe in the Son, you will not see life. God's wrath remains on you. It's almost like there was a cancer, and God provided a remedy. And he said, you drink this, you'll be okay. He's not going to make you drink it. You have to take it. Just like Jesus, he's offered for everyone. You and I must choose Jesus. You see, the choice to either receive or reject Jesus, it's always going to be up to you and I. The Bible says in John 1, 11 and 12, he came, Jesus came to his own people. Yet his own people did not receive him. Yet to those who received him, God gave him the right to be made children of God. You receive Jesus and your status change. Now you become sanctified. Now you become in the right relationship with God. We are humans created by God, our sovereign God. He created us with the ability to make decisions. Our decisions have drastic consequences when we, you know, sometimes we make bad decisions. So God expects you and I to choose what he already laid out for us. He's not going to do it for us. He expects you and I to choose. The choice is going to be yours and mine. You must choose what you and I are going to do with Jesus. Because one thing about God, he doesn't have a plan B. We talked about this morning how many people want to GPS their way around Jesus. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to go through Jesus. Sorry to break it to you, it ain't happening. That heaven belongs to Jesus, and Jesus said, you got to go through me to get there. And that's the way it is. You have to choose Jesus. My hope and prayers, like many of us, we're here because we have chosen Jesus, that we continue to walk in him. You know, God has given us a manual to help us make the right decisions. That's why he gave the law to the Israelites. You still have to choose. And at one time, God said to the Israelites, look, I place before you blessings and curses. And you wonder, why did God say that? I'm not going to go through the curses. You know, I'm going to go with the blessings. But God said, it's up to you how you walk, how you make decisions. You're going to be blessed. But how you make the decisions, you might be cursed. It's either or. Red pill, blue pill. Which one do you want to take? And so we as Christians, and we still telling the world that we must choose Jesus in order for us to be right with God. In order for us, for God to see you as holy, sanctified, righteous, innocent of guilt. It's all because of Jesus. Without him, he cannot look at me, and God cannot look at you without Jesus. It's all because of him. God provided that solution, but the world needs to choose him. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, there's still a lot of choices the world has to make. And we continue preaching the gospel so that people make the right choice to turn their lives to Jesus, by whom we can be saved. Peter said it this way when he preached to a whole bunch of religious leaders. He said, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. And he has become the capstone, the cornerstone. And then he said, salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. Jesus. God's solution to our sin problem. It happened back in the garden 2,000 years ago. Jesus was still a solution to the sin problem. And guess what? He still is the solution to our sin problem today. Really, when somebody, what the world needs love? No, what the world really truly needs is Jesus. And it will be a better place from the beginning. But we had to make that decision. We had to choose, because God will not take that away from you. Would you pray with me this morning?